Welcome back to Commish Talks with Josh Schaub. This week, because of the recent outbreak of COVID-19, Josh and I did a fully remote recording. In this episode, you'll hear us talk about what is happening right now behind the scenes in sports leagues as they scramble to make decisions in light of COVID-19. Please take COVID-19 seriously. Stay safe and stay healthy. We hope you enjoy.
Josh, in the last couple of weeks here, there has been a lot changing in the world in general. There's been something going on that's much bigger than sports, and that's this coronavirus. But in a statement that was released by the Wild, they said that in sports, oftentimes we see the unexpected, and that's exactly what we have here right now with the coronavirus. So from your perspective as a commissioner, I would love to start with just an update from the leagues that you're involved in.
Yeah, and I want to touch on something you said. This is a lot bigger than sports. This is people's lives. And obviously right now we're thinking about the medical professionals out there that are trying to treat people and really also thinking that aren't taking this seriously and the impact that may have on our population, really everyone going forward. So for those out there listening, if you're not taking this seriously, please do. We've had some insight from the league into the CDC and WHO and some medical professionals that we've been talking to, and this is a very serious matter. So in general, Jake, I think you're asking about, you know, our league's approach to this. And I will say we do have catastrophic plans for our leagues. It did not include pandemics. And it did not include, you know, nationwide shutdown. So for those matters, this was unprecedented. Each league kind of had a nuanced approach to it, just based on the cycle of where our season was at. And so in general, I can speak about, you know, soccer and hockey and, you know, ECHL, USHL, AHL, I think MASL, NHL, NBA are kind of in the same boat except for the economics. And I can differentiate on those. Clearly, the NBA and NHL can sustain this kind of suspension. They have cash reserves. They have television money. They have things they can do to proceed, including lending and some other avenues. The minor league teams in this country are going to be a lot harder hit because the margins are so thin on our operations. So, and that being said, a lot of our teams are supported by owners that make their money in other sectors. And they're going to be impacted by this in those other sectors. So, you know, for those leagues, the hockey league and the soccer leagues, MASL in particular, we were in the middle or late stages of our season. And as this was transpiring, we clearly saw it going on in China. We got no indication from the government. We got really no indication from WHO. We got no indication from CDC that you need to start hitting the panic button. You need to start shutting things down. When the cases started cropping up in Washington, California, I think started popping up in some other areas, and we started to get some indications from the government that they were going to start limiting gatherings, that's when we really started to turn the hot button up or turn the heat up on some decision making. And I can see just for the soccer league, I mean, we were at a Wednesday, kind of a Tuesday, when we held a call to start thinking about this and say, wait a second, the NBA is talking about shutting down. Something's coming down the pipe. Wednesday happens. We had a game. We played the game that night. The NBA shut down some of their games and kept some of their games playing. And then word came that an NBA player had COVID-19. And now, you know, things start turning because the players in our league started to get worried. Our staffs became worried about traveling. So at that point, it was like there was hot spots. Washington, the state of Washington, was a big hot spot. So teams that were scheduled to travel there were worried because their area hadn't experienced COVID-19 yet and didn't have any government direction yet. But, you know, Washington, California, I think some other states started saying, the state of New York, you cannot have gatherings over 250, but it was a patchwork type announcement. So we made the decision at the time we were not going to play some games and not others. And in fact, we had a bus traveling during the day to play a night game on Friday night. So we had Wednesday game happen. Thursday, we say, let's wait and see what the government does. I mean, so we're going like hour by hour. This thing is like fluid and it's changing where, Josh, you know, Thursday night we're saying we're going to play the games Friday.
Yep. When you say we, who's involved in making those decisions for the league?
So there's multi-layers of governance. There's the commissioner's office. There's an executive committee, which is a select group of owners, and there's a full board. And I believe in soccer, we actually had a full board meeting, and we came up with contingency plans. And so I remember I had on Thursday four set criteria. One is we play games except for if the government tells us we can't. Two is we don't play any games. Then there was three, we only play games where there's playoff teams that have implications. So in that scenario, there's no government intervention at all. So that was Thursday. Friday hit, and it's like the world started lighting on fire in America in terms of the government shutting down mass gatherings, and all those contingencies went out the window. So we called a full board meeting, and I had no intention of bringing this to full board vote because I knew there was going to be – I thought there was going to be consternation among the teams that had home games remaining versus the teams that had to travel to those destinations and had no home games remaining, because obviously there's revenue implications. Luckily for us, and obviously a lot of credit goes to our owners, they were unanimous in shutting down the league at that point, knowing that the physical danger to our players, staff, fans outweighed the economic outcomes for them shutting down games. And these are tremendous economic hits for these owners. We don't have a large television deal to buoy us. We don't have mass league reserve funds. So our owners made the right decision in that respect and shut it down for the season. So all we've done so far, and I think maybe the AHL is in this position, and us, I think, are the only winter pro sports I know of, and I think the NWHL, is to end the regular season. So we know that we're not going to have any more regular season games. We are holding out hope that we're still going to have playoffs at this point. So we hope that playoffs can occur at some point. And the latest is CDC, which we're relying on for decision-making, has said 8 weeks from, I think it was March 13th, is when they think that we can reconvene in at least outdoor settings. Now, I don't know what indoor settings may look like, and this is ever-evolving and it's fluid. So that league is checking in every 2 weeks to see where we're at. I'm obviously doing a welfare check on all those teams and their finances and, you know, what are they doing for staffing? Because the reality is a lot of those players have been sent home. A lot of the staffs have been furloughed at this point, especially the non-playoff teams, just not knowing the impact this may take. Because remember, Jake, even if we do come back and play, there may be a halo effect similar to 9/11, where fans are just hesitant to go out back out in public in mass gatherings.
Yeah.
So we just don't know yet. There's so many unknowns. Or, you know, in the alternative, on the brighter side, this thing just folds back up and we return to life normalcy here in a few weeks. We just don't know that yet.
Yeah. And I guess only time will tell on that. Through this whole process, how have you gone about communicating all this information that's coming from these meetings to all the other stakeholders in the league? And then who do you have to include on the communication? Because this really impacts everybody.
Yeah. So it's, like I said, multi-layers of governance. So there's the executive committee, which we met Friday. We met again Tuesday. I'll meet again tomorrow just to update on the latest and what we know. I need to conduct these welfare checks, and I was going to report back to the executive committee so we know where we're at. Because remember, not only do we have to think about playoffs in that league, now we have to think about next season. And what does next season look like for us? And do we need to make adjustments? So we're already thinking about that. So once I have that executive committee meeting tomorrow, I'll then communicate to the full board kind of our intention, where things are at. And I know not everyone's going to be happy with the results of, you know, a decision we make regarding playoffs at this point, because some teams are making business decisions based on the outcomes or hope that we have playoffs. For instance, they may lay off staff if, in fact, we're not going to playoffs. I just don't know that yet. So that one's going to be interesting. I just do want to comment, too, on the other set of sports that are set to kick off here for the summer, which is baseball. Fortunate in the respect that our season was not ongoing. And at least for the independent league teams and minor league baseball, they're not going to miss a huge chunk of their season. According to CDC, who said 8 weeks, we thought we could reconvene outdoors.
Hopefully.
Our scheduled start date is May 19th for the American Association. And Yeah. And we're planning for that, like business as usual for us.
Okay.
Because we're just going on what the government's telling us of when we can repeat. Now, what we may run into is similar to what we had when we had to shut down the winter sports leagues. We have this patchwork of decision-making by government, state government, saying, well, the state of Illinois is still banning gatherings over 50, but the state of Minnesota, now you can have over 5,000 people. And so are we going to start a league where we're playing games in Minnesota, but not in Illinois? That's going to be extremely difficult to pull off. So without uniformity across all the states and territories in which we operate in, provinces, because we operate in Winnipeg as well, I mean, it's going to be difficult. And then we have to think of, Jake, border crossings. Yeah. And in my state, soccer and baseball, if you think of border crossings, are the borders going to be open at the time? So we have contingency plans. What happens if this happens? What happens if this happens? And we have to keep pushing off. We have timelines of when decisions have to be made. So all of that is on the table at this point.
Wow.
Economic issues take a backseat to safety of players, fans, and staff.
Of course.
And that's foremost in our mind right now.
Okay. Yep. Well, what will it take for all of the leagues to come back into full playing mode and continue play?
Knowing that everyone will be safe and healthy from COVID-19. I mean, we're going to have precautions and protocol regarding players coming back and what the, you know, clubhouse will look like in baseball, what the locker room will look like in soccer. I'm sure hockey will have the same. We're hoping it'll be tests available at that point. You know, 2 months from now, will we have mass amount of tests, or do we have to go to private testing? Will we require masks indoors? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, there's a lot of protocol that is beginning to take shape as to what we may expect when those leagues reconvene. But for me to say this is okay when leagues come back, it's probably when the government, one, tells us we can do it, and two, we have protocols in place to make sure everyone's safe.
Okay. One question that might be difficult to answer is about the fans. Right now, pretty much every single sport is shut down across the world. Nobody's playing. So in your opinion, what do you think the fans out there can do, or what should they do while there's no sports being played?
Well, I mean, similar to what they're doing for restaurants, is, and I'm speaking simply for the minor league context, is buying gift cards and buying tickets for that team. They need to be supported as well during this time. And just, I think, reach out to the teams and let them know you're coming back. And really, more so than the fans, I think it's for sponsors. And sponsors telling teams, we're going to be waiting when you start up again. We're not going away. We're not pulling back. Now, it's easy for me to sit here and say that when, you know, I'm not the one cutting checks and I don't know what's going to happen with my business. So that's tough too. But fans, I think if they keep investing in those teams to make sure that they're around for years to come, we need to do that, because this is a turning point for some organizations and whether they can weather this season. If in fact we have less games, if in fact sponsorship money pulls out, this is starting to feel a lot like 2009. It's starting to. We're not there yet. Yeah. We're definitely not there yet. And I hope we don't get there at all. But I hopefully play a full slate of games. I hope that our soccer league gets in playoffs that are profitable and we can crown a champion. But the reality is fans need to stay invested in teams in some way, shape, or form. You can have merchandise delivered to your house. You can continue to buy tickets and encourage sponsors, if you know any, to stay in the game.
Okay. One question I have, it's a little bit more specific about the contracts that the leagues have. I'm not sure if you're comfortable with answering this, but I might butcher the name of this thing, but I think it's force majeure. It's a clause within contracts that basically says if there's an act of God that inhibits this from happening, it's nullified. Would you be open to explaining what that means and the implications that has on the league and then the teams within the league?
Yeah, so it's force majeure, and you got it right, except act of God and force majeure are two separate things. Force majeure means something outside of the control, and I forgot the actual translation, but it's something outside of your control that causes an impossibility of performance, and really that's an assertive defense, but affirmative defense. It means you just couldn't perform whatever it is you're supposed to perform. And here's where the battle's about to take place. And I think not only in sports, but really in business as a whole, is whether COVID-19 meets whatever definition they have in that force majeure clause to say they couldn't perform. And I can tell you, just speaking right to the sports context, a couple of different ones, services and goods. If it's a service, right, and the service was supposed to show up and, I don't know, do something at the stadium, or the team was supposed to provide a game for a group outing, did COVID-19 stop them from hosting that event or delivering that service? And it's going to come down really to a factual investigation, specifically what's in that force majeure clause. They may say due to government intervention, it may say due to an act of God, and then you have to argue over whether COVID-19 is an act of God, which is typically like lightning, storms, tornadoes, like weather related activity, mostly in insurance claims. So that force majeure clause is going to be extremely important as things bear out, where people don't want to pay for something they were supposed to pay for, and in other groupings, someone didn't perform what they were supposed to perform. It's the ones that should have received the money and the ones that don't want to pay the money. They're going to lean on that force majeure clause. And it's not just in sports, it's in business in general. But I think about baseball going forward, and really, you know, a lot of their sponsorship money was locked up at this point. You may have some sponsors trying to back out leaning on that force majeure clause, but they can't perform. Because baseball didn't perform in some respect.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's all I have for you today, Josh. I know this is a continually evolving situation, and it's difficult to predict what's going to happen in the weeks and months ahead here. But is there anything else that you want to say before we end this here?
Yeah, I think just to reiterate once again, supporting your local team, whatever manner that they may reach out to you for, whether it's tickets, continue to buy. We're going to have these sports again. They're going to come back. They're going to make you whole. I think the other one too is just stay safe and stay healthy. Like, the quicker that we abide by the recommendations that are being put out there, the quicker this thing's over with. That's a big thing. And it's not only affecting people's health, it's affecting their mental health and their economic well-being while everyone's at home and people are losing their jobs. So for those that are listening out there, and I see our numbers are ticking up, so I'm happy about that. Follow the recommendations. There's a lot of people's lives on the line in multiple different ways.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Commish Talks. As a friendly reminder, please do your best to adhere to the guidelines set forth by the CDC at this time. Take care, and if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out on LinkedIn.